Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Marks.
Good afternoon, Brother Rama. How are you this evening?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Actually, I'm not okay, man. I just got news that my grandfather passed away.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, man. Mm. Oh, man. The patriarch. Oh, right. My goodness. I'm so sorry to hear that we are going to be keeping you in our prayers and, you know,
thank
just
you.
Lifting your whole family in prayers during this difficult times. I do apologize for what you are going to be going through as a family. My goodness. No, I'm sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank you so much, Brother Zama. But the reason why I didn't even want to ask somebody to fill in for me is because his last words to me was, Pastor Mark, carry on preaching. Carry on preaching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good,
Hallelujah.
Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, indeed. Now, every believer desires spiritual intimacy with other believers. We may call it fellowship or community or doing life together. God didn't make us to be lone rangers. So if you're out there, you know that, and you're listening to the show, you know that you are not supposed to be a lone ranger. He saved us into the church. And yet, spiritual community is still hard to come by. It doesn't happen by accident, though. It comes as a gift from God. And He usually gives it as we intentionally cultivate a Christian affection and a mutual understanding. So how might we begin cultivating this kind of life together as Christians? And what even is the significance of community prayer? So why not begin today by looking at the importance of individual prayer? And by the way, if you're listening out there, Pastor Marks is not only joining us today, she's going to be with us for the better part of the week. In fact, I think until Friday. And we're going to be looking at this subject from different angles, and we are going to literally hopefully be able to arrive at where you wished us to arrive. But if you do have questions, please do make sure that you send those to us, +27734703520. Pastor Marks, what does the Bible tell us about prayer?
You know, the Bible is not silent at all when it comes to the issue of prayer. There's actually quite a number of verses where God speaks to. The Bible is a very interesting book because it covers this title or this theme extensively. But my mind is just quickly moving me to the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve were talking to God, right? And I think that the crucial part is that they were able to speak to God every day and face to face because he was there with them. So now the issue of prayer comes because we no longer can talk to God the way Adam and Eve used to talk to God. I hope I'm putting a nice foundation there. So now prayer is now a tool, something that bridges us, humanity, to God. So if we look, for instance, in the book of Philippians 4, verse 6, it tells us that we should not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to God. And I love the fact that the Bible is not silent on how to even do it, because we find this in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where the disciples are saying to God, to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus then gives them that model prayer, the Our Father, which is a model prayer. You know, and he shows them how to pray. And it's not only that, when our Brother Zama, we also find that Jesus even tells us how not to pray like the hypocrites. Again, we hear the issue of prayer again. And he says, you know, when you pray, go in your room and speak to your Heavenly Father in private, and don't pray like the hypocrites who pray, or, you know, on squares or in public where everyone can see them. And, you know, they tell people how holy they are. But rather, let us be humble and speak to God through the medium of prayer. And so, yeah, the Bible is that there's a lot of verses on the issue of prayer and on how to do it. Again, let me just say, in James 1, verse 6, it says, when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. So whatever we ask for in prayer, we must believe that God can do it for us, God will definitely do it for us.
Oh, yes. I love that. Definitely God should be able to do that for us. Now, What's the purpose of prayer? I mean, we're asking because we want to understand if God already knows what we want and need. Mm. I mean, in Isaiah, he says, before you pray, I already know what you want. Now, what's the purpose, therefore, of prayer?
Actually, there's a lot of reasons why we must pray. Firstly, we need to align our desires with the will of God. That's like the first thing. Because you know the Bible in Proverbs, it says that we must not lean on our own understanding, but we must trust in the Lord with all our heart. So how are we going to practice that? It is by prayer. When you are praying always, it shows that you trust that the Lord is the one that rules over your life. You don't walk in the way that you think things ought to be. So we've got to align our will with God's will through prayer. And this is why when we read in the book of Luke 22, verse 42, it tells us that not our will must be done, but the will of God. And Romans, Paul reminds us, he says that we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So how are we going to renew our minds? It is through prayer. We must be able to always be in the habit of prayer so that we align our wills with God. Secondly, it is for us to worship God. You know, the Lord wants us to worship him in truth and in spirit. So if we want to speak to our Heavenly Father, we do so through the medium of prayer, where we give him all the praises, where we give him all the adorations, you know. Psalms 95 verse 6, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. And then another reason is to build a relationship with God. Do you know, brothers, I read a quote. Actually, I think if I can find it quickly here. The quote says that Christ, when he comes, he's coming to fetch people that are in a relationship with him. Yes, I found it. It's in Manuscript chapter 11. Ellen White says, when God takes the members of his church to heaven, it'll be because they have walked with him here on earth. So how do we walk with God? Part of it is prayer every day, making sure that we connect. We ask God to walk, to lead our paths, to lead our steps. All right. And so I think one more reason why we pray is to confess and to repent from our sins. Remember, God is always calling us to repentance. So we cannot confess unless we pray. We've got to confess, and we do that whilst we are praying. So there are many other reasons, but for now, I will end it there.
Now, what is the role of prayer in personal spiritual growth? And I like that it probably could link with some of the things that you said.
Yes, that's beautiful. Thank you, Brother Zama. The first thing is the issue of faith. We've got to believe that when we begin this process of prayer, that God has an ear for us to listen. And we have to do it by faith. Because actually, when we pray, we don't see God. We just speak the words. So it helps us to have an exercise of faith that when you have prayed, you have faith that God is going to answer that prayer. And, you know, Mark 11, verse 24 says that whatever we ask for in prayer, we must believe that we have received it and it will be yours. And my personal favorite one is the sincerity and honesty. Mm-hmm. It's what I always tell people, that, you know, it's easy for us to wear masks. It's easy for us to put on a facade, you know, and say, no, things are well and things like that. But I believe that prayer allows us to be honest and authentic with God, to be sincere that, Lord, look, I've lost this. I've lost that. What do you say, you know? And I believe that, you know, that's why Ellen White says when we are speaking to God, it's as if you are speaking to a friend. You know, when you are just telling a friend things that you are going through. So it allows us to be honest and authentic with God. And it also teaches us humility. You know, James chapter 4, someone was calling me. James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in there before the Lord and he will lift you up. Yes.
Yep. Humble yourself indeed before the Lord and he will lift you up. Now, What would you say are the key elements of effective prayer?
An effective prayer, we need to be in the posture of confession, like I initially said. In order for our prayers to be effective, we've got to change. We've got to allow God to change our hearts and change our minds and change everything about us. That's why the Bible says, if you want to give an offering to God, but you still have a squabble with your brother or your sister, leave that gift there. Go and sort it out with your family member or your friend that you had a squabble with. Then come back and you can offer your gift. All right? So you've got to, your posture has to be right. Your heart has to be right in order for us, in order for that prayer to be effective. Secondly, we've got to always be in the habit of gratitude and praise. You know, a lot of the times we are asking God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And then we forget to thank God and give him the praises and gratitude of everything that he has done for us. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, in every situation, by prayer and petition. And then the next part says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So your prayers will be effective when you are always thankful for what he has already done. Things that he hasn't even done in the future, but you know that he's going to do, you are also thankful for that. So you thank God in advance that, Lord, I know that your word will not go back to you void, but it will accomplish everything that you set it out to do, you know? And you believe God for the promises that he gives us in the Bible. That's what I usually do myself. I always claim the promises and say, Lord, here are the promises that you have given in the Bible. I believe them, and they are for me. Can I give an example? My daughter recently took a trip down overseas. You know, Brother Zama, I want to be honest with the audience and everyone listening. The way I was messing up those forms for the visa forms, they were so messed up, those forms. But I want to attest to what the Lord has done for me as I was praying. Because as I was doing everything, I kept on saying, God, show us favor. God, show us favor. And as I'm moving, God, show us favor. I realized later when I had already submitted the forms that there were actually some forms that were missing because I missed an email that came through from the school. But I'm telling you that visa came through. For me, that's God's favor to say, even if your things were not all in order, but because you believed and asked for my favor, there's your favor I give you. And a lot of people, especially, I know one of them is my sister, that has been trying to get a visa to go overseas, and it was failing. And she kept on trying, and it was failing. And we talked about it, and we say, hey, God's favor really was upon this trip, because indeed, even when I go to the next one, because she's going to two countries, when I went to the other one, when I got there, they showed me that, you see this form, you didn't fill it correctly. Then I'm like, look at God, look at God, because the first visa just came and the form was incorrect. And here this lady is helping me to fill it in. So, yeah, it is like that, Brother Zama. When we believe that God will do things for us, he will do them because we believe in him.
Yeah. Now, in terms of some hindrances then to effective prayer, what would those be?
You know, the Bible says for men and women, it says that God does not listen to a prayers of a man who's hurting his wife. Yeah. And I guess it would also mean vice versa, that if I'm constantly hurting my husband, you know, I'm not treating him with respect, I'm not submissive to him, that's one of the things that will hinder my prayers. If I'm praying, God won't want to listen to me because I'm not listening to the head of the family. You understand? So I think that's one of them. And then the second one that I thought of is unconfessed sins. Things that we are just, you know, harboring, and the darling sins, things that we don't want to let go. You know, you're saying this thing, I'm going to do it. You know, the Lord understands. Unconfessed sins will be a hindrance to prayer because God does not want us to forever hold on to the very thing that put his son on the cross. And then the next thing is unforgiveness. When somebody has wronged you, and I understand, especially in the world we live in, there's a lot of things that can really hurt us, you know, physically, emotionally, sometimes even it can hit the bank account, you know. I get that. But you still need to forgive. Because we expect that God must also forgive us. So if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, you have something against your brother or your sister or someone that you won't let go, then God won't listen to your prayers either.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said in his word that we must forgive each other our trespasses,
yeah,
as the Lord is also, forgiving us. And I think another one that I thought of is being selfish and wrong motives. If the prayer, it's never to uplift humanity, it's always about yourself, that me. I believe that God does not answer prayers like that. You know, especially if it is for us to flex. I think the young people use a new term now. It is to flex, to show people, you know, all these things. I believe that God does not honor such prayers. So it would be one of the hindrances, and obviously lack of faith and doubt, like I already mentioned. If you doubt, God won't answer. He won't.
Isn't doubt a good thing, so that you are not overconfident?
Okay. You know what doubt is? Doubt is to strip God of the power. That's what doubt is.
Okay.
It is not to say, no, you are leaving room for disappointment. That's why I said initially, our prayers have to always align with the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pray for something, you ask God, is this in alignment with your will?
Mm-hmm.
Then God will answer accordingly. But when you doubt, doubt alone, it disarms everything. It cancels out everything. You know, it's like multiplying something big by zero. What do you get? You get zero. Even if the number is a million, even if it's a billion, if you multiply it by zero, it's zero.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Ah, man. This is a very exciting topic. Now, please give us your final thoughts on personal individual prayer and devotion.
All right. I do believe that I have a quote. Let me look here from Ellen White. It says that why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray? When prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of the omnipotence? In another place, she says, when we get to heaven, Brother Zama, there will be presents, things that are wrapped, you know, beautiful gifts. And we will say, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And the Lord will say, you guys never asked for these things. So I never gave them because you never asked for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that we need, the resources that we need for this life, we must ask God for them. You know, ask God, say, Lord, give us all the bounties of heaven so that we'll be able to further the gospel and for us to also enjoy your love.
Yeah,
I believe that, like I said earlier, God, there's nothing that he will withhold from us if we ask him. In fact, the Bible says so in Romans 8. It says that God did not even spare his own son. How can he not, together with everything that's there, give us all things? So I believe that we must dream big. As God say, my dreams are close to impossible, but I know that you can do them for me. Please provide for all my needs, and you know he will give more than we ask or imagine. That's what Ephesians tells us. And so when we get those things, we share with our brothers and sisters. If we are living a proper Christian life, Brother Zama, none of us should be hungry.
True.
In all of us in the community, because remember we're talking about community, we'll be making sure that each and every one of us has got a job, each and every one of us is doing fine. So yeah, that is my final words.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, we're going to be connecting with you tomorrow again at the same time and same place. I wish you the very best of the afternoon, and I do pray that you and the family may walk with God during this difficult time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Brother Zama. God bless. Connect tomorrow by God's grace. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.